Hello, dear friends, and welcome to another episode of Life of Love, where we share the magic of living in the love vibration and just trying to figure out how to navigate this crazy thing called life and living our best lives. So our commitment to you is strong, and we're happy to have you every Thursday. So this Thursday, we have a wonderful guest. Her name is Tana Teschen, and she's a wonderful soul. She's been in this area for over 25 years of helping people and coaching and leading people to a vibrant life. In fact, she's a founder of a nonprofit called Vibrant Living International. So I'm just so pleased to have her bring her message forth and share her vibration with us, because, you know, this is something that's been dear to her heart, and the longevity of her service is just inspiring to me. And I'm just, you know, overwhelmed to have her. I just want to welcome you to the show and let you know how happy I am to have you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Julie. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Oh, and I forgot to tell the audience, you also have a podcast, and it's called You Were Designed for Greatness.
Yes, I do.
Excellent. So great. It's just such a wonderful way to reach people. Doing what you've been doing for 25 years, I'm sure you've seen a lot, but can you just go back and let the audience know how you started? Like, what was your impetus? What was your guiding force that you said, I'm going to do this? Because 25 years ago, there weren't as many coaches as they are now. So tell us about your path a little bit.
Well, I was always the girl that I would find myself in situations where people would be asking me for advice, telling me things going on in their life, and going back more than 25 years. And, you know, if I've heard, I can't believe I'm telling you this, once, I've heard it a million times. And so it was, if you had asked the child me what I want to do, I just said, I'm going to grow up and help people. And I really didn't know what that would look like. And when we talk about 25 years ago, it wasn't called coaching. That wasn't really the name, that the label, if we will, the title that was placed on it. You would have been more mentoring in those types of settings. And so I have been meeting regularly prior to starting Vibrant Living. It was on a volunteer or a just helping people, just kind of that way. And then Vibrant Living began 10 years ago. And that was the pivot of me saying, what do I really want to do? And creating a nonprofit organization specifically designed to helping people overcome life adversities, the disappointment that life brings, and helping people, what does it mean to live vibrantly? And asking that question for each and every individual. What would it mean if you lived vibrantly? What would your life look like? What would be eliminated? What would you add? And begin to explore what that looks like. But it's amazing how many people have trouble even dreaming a little bit. It feels scary. So that is a lot of, it's just been part of me. And I finally said yes to myself and began to do it full time.
Wow. So yeah, I can see, because you have this quiet openness about you where you just feel like you could share something with you, and that, you know, like, it's your presence. So I can see how that was started as a young child. Wow. And I do agree that sometimes it is scary to think what's possible, because, you know, you could be let down, or, you know, there's always this fear that you're not worthy, that who are you to say that you can live vibrantly, and won't that put you above people? Or, you know, there's always these things, these beliefs or fears that sneak in when we're trying to say, oh yeah, I want to be happy. And well, like you said, what does that mean? Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So exactly. That's wonderful. I was wondering, from when you started work, you know, being a mentor, or when you, in the beginning. Have you seen a shift in what people are struggling with or the speed that they're getting through things? Is there anything that you can look back on from then to now and just give us some idea of, you know, you don't always get the chance to pick somebody's brain who's been in this field for, you know, for over two decades, right? So I'm just, my curious mind wants to know, have you seen anything that you can say, oh yeah, it's a little different, or is it the same patterns?
No, not really. A lot is different. People are people. And we continue to feel like we're not good enough. We continue to be afraid of the unknown, which is dreaming. And if you've had any kind of disappointment, pain, or trauma in your life, then you're even more skittish about those types of things. And in the last, I don't know if it's more prevalent or because of the way that we have things in the media, but there is a lot more exposure of how depressed and sad and afraid people are. And so it is, I don't really have the facts to say whether it has increased or not, but there is definitely more awareness because we can know instantly what's happening around the world. And so there is a lot more on because of social media. See, when I started this, was this before internet? We're going back a little ways. This is before that all of social media was a thing. And so I know a lot of people have a hard time imagining those days, but there was those days. My husband said to our grandson, yeah, there was no internet when I said, Mom, Poppy didn't have internet. You can't imagine that.
That's like us saying to our great grandparents, you didn't have TV, right? Yeah. It's like that transforming. Mm-hmm. Like,
yes. Yeah.
So I hear you saying the fears are the same, but they might be exacerbated or just more in our face because we can just get on and see people's raw lives immediately. Okay. Yeah. That's fair. I can see that. I can see that. I always say that love and fear can exist in the same energy. And, you know, if you're in a state of fear, you can't feel love. So that's why one of the reasons I was really, you know, wanting to have you be on my show is that, you know, you want to face fear. And to me, that's like knocking down the nightmare. It's knocking down the boogeyman so that you can find your love vibration. And so I wanted to ask you, you know, what are some main signs that you're in fear? I mean, well, you know, you're in fear when someone's chasing you or you feel threatened, but are there sneaky fears that you have noticed that people might not even identify as a fear? It just might be something that's a constant in their life that they don't even realize it's fear. They can't even label it because it's so, I want to say they're immersed in it. And a lot of times that's the hardest thing to see. So I wondered if you could illuminate any of those kind of fears that you see.
Well, it's a pretty big subject is about dissecting, if you will, fear. But to be simplifying in it all is there's two main kinds of fear. There's the fear that the bear's chasing you. And then there is fear of just, I've never done this before. Not my life is in danger, but I don't know what this is going to be like. And so both of them cause a stress reaction in your body, and your body doesn't decipher which one you're facing. And we have very few bears chasing us, but we have a high state of, I don't know what's going to happen, and that unknown. And it causes both feelings in our body, which then can cause trigger different responses as well. But people that, when you are immersed in, you know, as you said, immersed in fear, when you are afraid of, the worst case scenario happening, it's where we've been putting our focus is the simplest way to say it. Whatever you, and it's also learned from trauma. I need to watch out for fear. If it's happened to you before, you're watching out for it so that it doesn't happen again. But we think that will prevent it. Like if I watch out for, if you've been in an abusive relationship, I'll just watch out and not get in any kind of that relationship. But what I stop doing is getting in relationships altogether, which then prevents love. And so it's this wall that I build to try to keep me safe, but it also keeps out the things that I want in my life. So some ways to begin to shift your attention from what could go wrong is questions like, well, what would I love? What could go right? And learning to be able to focus on the things that you want instead of what you're afraid you don't want. For example, instead of, I don't want to get hurt, focus instead, I want a healthy relationship. It seems subtle, but it causes different things for your perspective, and it causes different reactions in your body as well. I don't want to fail, but instead, that's fear-based. Instead, I'm going to do everything I can to learn and grow. There's completely different shift, and it causes different results in your life as well. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I'm like so excited to hear this because it's an applicable way to bring in like quantum physics and like, you know, your shifts in your thought pattern. You're going from, you know, focusing on what you want instead of focusing on what you don't. And it's magic. That's a way to live in magic. So this is resonating with me so much. I think the hardest thing is to catch yourself in these, you know, like you said, if you have trauma, that's, you know, it's a real feeling, and it's hard to catch yourself and say, well, yeah, but I lived through that. And this is what I'm showing up for. This is what I'm ready for. Cause I survived that old thing that happened. And now I'm showing up for the higher possibility. And just the idea that, you know, that if you're living in this protected, like you said, you put walls up around your heart, then you're definitely going to have something that's going to smack into the wall because you put up a wall, and that's what you put out there is what you get. So this is another example of, you know, your expectations setting you up for exactly what you're expecting. So yeah, I love that message. And I think you can take it as far as your imagination will let you. So, and that's what you're talking about is dreaming. Sometimes dreaming's even scary. So what do you do with a client that is like, I don't have a dream. I can't picture myself there. I know I have a woman I work with, and she wanted me to picture this beautiful temple. And I was like, you know, I don't feel like I deserve what I'm picturing. It was this opulent thing. And I was like, but who am I to have this wonderful opulent thing? And she's like, well, we got to dive in there. And that was scary. And I remember, I was like, whoa, this is so much more than what I thought I was getting into. I felt a block in imagining what I wanted. But your technique and what you're doing is you're saying, okay, dream it. But what happens when people are like, I can't, is it they're too stressed, they're too overwhelmed, or what would you suggest to somebody who's like, I'm just too burnt out to dream? Because I know there's some people that feel that way. They're too stressed. Things are too hard.
Most of the time, the reason why we have trouble picturing good, something better in our life, is it's easier to expect the bad because then I'm not disappointed. And that sounds really sad, but it's very true. I don't want to be disappointed. And if I put myself out there, then I have to handle disappointment. I think if handling disappointment is the biggest skill that we need to actually have a vibrant life, because there are times when what we want is delayed, or it doesn't seem to be happening when we think it should happen. And we have to handle disappointment. So there is the area of having a dream, but as I say, I give it to God and have it with open hands on how and when it's going to arrive. So that's how I personally, but to answer, go back to your question, is when someone has trouble dreaming, what do I do? How do I help them? And it's, to me, it's everybody can dream. We were built with an imagination. We were built to be creative with our imagination in the image of God. And when we, that, if you would imagine that is a faucet that's been turned off and it's rusty and it feels hard to turn that handle to get that dreaming started because I've not done that, is I just say, well, what's one thing you would like today? Oh, I'd like a cup of coffee, or for me and you, a cup of tea. You know, it's like, I would like a cup of tea. Yes. Or I'd like a new teapot, or you would like a new teapot, I hear. So, you know, that's something I want a new teapot. So that's the simple, just start with something small. It doesn't have to be life-changing to begin to turn the faucet on your dreaming. What is it that you would desire? I want a new pair of shoes. I want to go for a walk. What do you want? And begin to say what you want and what you desire. And that begins to open up the faucet, if you will, so that it can begin to flow. Some people turn it off again, and I have to help them turn it back on again. But it is, that's the simplest way, is what's one thing you would like?
I love what you said about we are here to be creative and through God and to leave it up to God for it to transpire the way for our highest good. It's like, it's that trust. So yeah, and just those baby steps, those little adjustments, you know, like when they fly a plane from Hawaii to New York City, they don't always stay in the path. There's little adjustments. The wind comes and, you know, it's just making these little corrections and you can get to where you want to go, but it doesn't have to be this. I think that's one of the things that we've had trouble with is this, we want immediate gratification. And sometimes we hit bumps. And what I hear you saying is the bumps are going to come. You know, you're not doing this so you don't have bumps. You're doing this so you can recalibrate when you hit the bumps and trust. And I love it. That's so beautiful.
Everything can work for our good. When you love God and you seek Him, everything can work for good. When you're, and all of it reflects on the attitude that I choose to take in the middle of the difficulties. If you have listened to my podcast or followed me at my story, you know, I've had them. I'm not talking about this hypothetically. And so learning to be able to turn things around so that it can turn out for your good. As I recently had something that happened and I looked at it and went, well, that doesn't feel good. God, I wonder how we're going to turn this for good. And it's just watching it unfold. And I've had as many years of experience now that I know it happens. It's just a matter of time, but it was much harder when I was younger and you don't have the history of proof of that for your own life, but I promise you it's true.
I know it's hard when you're being tested. And when you live and you teach it and then you're tested. And, you know, I know that myself, I preach these things too. And then I'll be in a crisis and I'll feel depleted and alone. And I'm like going through all these things and I'm checking in my body. I'm like, yeah, this is me being tested. So it's like, you can step back and be like, okay, I've made it through this and God doesn't give me more than I can handle. So I'll be like, show me, open my hands and say, God, please show me how to handle. I know you didn't give me more than I can take. And so, that's what I do. When I'm feeling that overwhelmed, but it's easy. Yeah. It's easy to fall into a victim.
Yeah, it's important to remember that God says He doesn't test any man. And we're in a world where circumstances don't go the way we think they should, or people don't behave the way we think they should. And sometimes we get hurt or disappointed through it all. But God's always the answer, not the tester in all of those kind of things.
I'm sending love to anyone who's feeling tested or feeling challenged, because, you know, it's an opportunity to rise up, and it doesn't always feel like an opportunity. Sometimes it just feels like the world's coming down on you. So I hold space for that, because it's a real feeling.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Donna, I want to give you a chance to, your offering on your website is a free book.
Yes, it is called An Umbrella on a Sunny Day. And the idea of the title came from what we've been talking about. It's sunny outside, but I know it's going to rain on me soon. It might just me, maybe, but it will rain on me sooner or later. So I'm going to bring my umbrella and prepare for the worst, for the rain to happen. This book has my story in it, and how we prepare for the other shoe to drop is another way of saying it. So we can put our umbrella away and enjoy the sunshine when it's out. And it also gives 5 keys of overcoming this type of mindset. And it has stories of women who have worked with me and how they have overcome as well.
Oh, that's a perfect segue. Wow. I love that. And, you know, it's like the empowerment, you know, how you're going to hit a roadblock, but you're going to have your toolkit to say, okay, I'm prepared, or I can pivot, and that belief that you're strong and that you're a divine being, and you're going to create resource where you think there might not be anything, and it could become this gift, right? I mean, I bet you've seen it. Do you have a story of a woman who found a gift in something that seemed desperate?
One of the things, while I'm trying to clarify on the story, is I wanted to mention, is you mentioned that If I receive goodness and the things that I desire, that means somebody else will miss out. And you mentioned that that's not true. And one of the examples that I use is life is not a pie. And if you and I get a piece, that means somebody doesn't. It is not a pie. There is plenty of goodness. God is good. Mm. And there is plenty of goodness for each of us, because the plans that he has for us is for good and to prosper. So it isn't that somebody's going to miss out. And that is one of the things that I share is we have, you probably have heard of Lake Michigan, the large Great Lakes that are around, and I'm in Michigan. And so all of the Great Lakes surround the state of Michigan. So we can go see a lot of water. And if you went to Lake Michigan with a teaspoon and you took a teaspoon of water out, would it make any difference to the water level? Let's say the ocean. We could do the ocean too. Of course not. So now I'm going to get a bucket. I'm going to get a bucket of water out. Is it going to make a difference in the level of the ocean? No. Well, now I'm going to get a bathtub and fill a bathtub full of water. Is the ocean or the Lake Michigan go down? No. Now I'm going to get a tanker truck and fill it all up. Did it change the ocean? Did it deplete it? No. And the same is true for God's love and his ability to bring us love. When you seek him, you will find him. And so learning to be able to move through life's adversity with that picture, with that image in your mind, it changes the way that you face things that are like, I didn't think it would go this way. And major trauma and tragedy, which has happened in my life as well. So what do you think of that imagery?
I think it's beautiful. And I think it goes both ways. I think it goes to, okay, this is a shitty situation, or wow, this is cool. And I'm just going to absorb it. I'm going to show how happy I am, because I think a lot of people are scared to show when things are really good. They're scared to like be present with the goodness of it. And that's mm-hmm. part of the magnet, the attraction of goodness is just to relish in that and celebrate. You know, there's so many times we're like, oh, but I can't be that happy because it's going to rub it in. No, there's abundance. There's abundance of love and joy also. So, we gotta ride the waves, right? Like with the water metaphor is like, you know, you're going to have your highs, you're going to have your lows, and they're all there for a reason. And wow, I love that. You're not going to change the water level on your own. It's a great metaphor for the abundance around us and the mm-hmm. help.
And to accept,
people are going to help you. And I know that we've had a rough time in our family. We had a tragic death, and we have flowers from people who I haven't heard from in so long. And they're mm-hmm. thinking of us and cards and, you know, and my neighbor wanted to bring food, and usually I'm, oh, we're fine. But I was like, yes, thank you. Like, and you know, just seeing the people around you who are here to support you. You don't have to go it alone. There's people that are there for you. So, you know, just look for it, ask for it, ask for God to show you signs that you're not alone, because there's so much abundance around.
And if you're listening to this podcast and you need someone to talk to, you can, on my website, you can schedule a free call. And if I'm not the right resource to help you, I can point you in the direction that is. So nothing, being here, listening to this, knowing that there's hope. So there is hope.
Oh, Donna, that's lovely. There is hope. Oh, I love that. Well, I will definitely put your website in the show notes. And I just adore our conversation. It was real, you know. There's all sides of love, and living a life of love is getting beyond the hard spots. So, you know, having the courage to say I'm struggling and I need help, it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal to open up to that, and I appreciate it.
My pleasure,
Donna. Well, thank you so much. And was there a last word that you wanted to share?
And remembering that there is always hope, understanding that hard things happen, but and there is a period of in time where it feels dark, but there is always hope. And so looking for that hope and finding, and don't go it alone. That would be my closing thought, I think.
Mm-hmm. I agree that community, and if you're feeling a lack of community, you know, that's a sign that you need to ask for community and see how you can show up in your community, because that's one of the craziest things about the social media craze is that more and more people are feeling alone, even though we're connected to our devices.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely
make
true.
It a priority, you know, like you have control of your surroundings. Do what you can to change and see. You know, I want to say, you know, you said, wouldn't it be lovely to have someone to call right now? Or wouldn't it be lovely to have a group of women who meet and support each other on a regular basis? And you could have that. That's not asking for too much, right? But you have to put it in the field instead of I feel isolated. Say, I would really love to have three friends that we could meet and have a cup of tea. I really appreciate your message of hope, and keep on dreaming your vibrant life, right? Picture your
and
vibrant life.
Thank you, my listeners. I really appreciate your ears and your hearts. And I'm really excited to introduce my new website, lifeofloveandjoy.com. You are welcome to head over there to make comments about any episodes or give me suggestions for episodes you recommend. I am here for you. And I want you to know that we're a community and I'm supporting you and holding space for your life of love. Also, so exciting, my audiobook is finally out. So you can pick it up on Apple audiobooks or on Audible. And what's pretty cool is Amazon has given me a promo. They're wanting people to listen to their Audible content. So, you know, it's just great timing, I guess. They gave me a promo code. You can download my book. Even if you've tried a promo code with them before or you've done a trial membership, this is available to everyone, regardless if you've done a promo and canceled. You can sign up with the link that I'll provide in the description. You get my title for free, and if you're a Prime member, you get another title for free and access to their whole library. And if you don't want to use it, you can always cancel it. So that's available. And a big thing you can do to help me out is leave a review. Leave a review on my podcast or leave a review if you liked my book or my audiobook. It's huge for me, so I really appreciate it. And always go out and have a wonderful day and live your life of love.